Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Life is a fight. In business, every day is a fight. So, hey, what's your problem?
Indeed. This is What's Your Problem, a podcast that talks about business problems. We want to hear about the problems. My name is Jim McCarthy. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to John David Wells for voicing that intro for us. Check him out. I think his website's at johndavidwells.com. I think it's J-O-N. I think I should probably get that clear before I go ahead and talk about that, but I'll clarify it and I'll put it in the show notes if you want a good voiceover guy. He is definitely one of them. But this is a podcast where we talk about real business owners and real business owner problems with businesses here around the Spring Hill, Thompson Station, Franklin area, in Middle Tennessee. We want to try and keep it nice and local because we care about our local area. This is a podcast that's also being brought to you from the Big Dot Inc. HQ on Jim Warren Road. Today, we've got a treat for you. We've got the Big Dot, I think, have we come up with a title for you yet, John?
No, I'm currently titleless. You can call me that.
You're titleless?
Mr. Untitled.
I think we did. Entitled. Wasn't it like janitor du jour or something like that?
Just depends on the day. Usually it's whatever's left over I get. So I'm like the dog that cleans up the scraps at the end of the meal.
I see. Try and get up on that mic if you could a little bit more.
So if we
I want to hear you.
You want to hear me?
I do.
Okay, well, I can talk.
And our other guest coming in and visiting the HQ for the first time, Mr. Matt Boghossian. How you doing, buddy?
Hey. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well.
Thank you.
Matt, I got introduced by you. You reached out to me on Facebook, I believe, right?
Probably, yeah.
About 6 months ago or so. And you and I met when we could all meet at Panera.
That's right.
In Cool Springs.
We had a mutual friend that told me I should reach out to you.
Who was it?
Was it Joel Monkoff? Does that sound familiar?
Oh, Joel Hudson?
I can't remember. Yeah.
Sorry, Joel.
His name is Joel.
Joel. I got you.
That's a plug for Joel Monkoff. Sorry, Joel.
You reached out to me and we were talking about podcasting and stuff like that and video and all those different things that you are currently engaging in your marketing and branding of you being a realtor. Where is it? Realtor? Or is it real estate agent? What do you prefer?
You know, I like real estate agent.
Do you?
Yeah. It just sounds
more official.
Yeah.
But that is a great question. Everybody says realtor.
And why do they do that?
Spelled realtor.
Is it docator or doctor?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
that's for another podcast, I guess.
You basically got on my radar because once you reached out to me, of course, you were on my radar. But then I did some background searching and stuff like that, looking at what you were doing. I really could appreciate you taking the ball and running with it. For like what Vaynerchuk talks about. And everybody who knows me knows I'm a huge fan of Vaynerchuk. John's not so much of a fan of Vaynerchuk, are you, John?
I plead the seventh.
I love him. I personally love him.
I know.
So, yeah. I'm not sure what the seventh amendment. Isn't that women's rights or something?
Vaynerchuk, the seventh?
Yeah.
Well, you plead the fifth, right?
I usually plead the fifth. This time it's the seventh.
I don't know what the seventh is.
I don't either.
That's really bad of me. I got to brush up on my civics. So you were doing all sorts of things that he talks about. Gary Vaynerchuk, he recommended to realtors, look, if you're going to go ahead and do this and market yourself in wherever you're going to be doing your business, be like the mayor of the town. And you were doing exactly that. You were doing really in-depth, cool videos of your listings and stuff like that. I mean, they're cinematic. They're really good, and they're all done by you, correct?
So I'd say it's probably 75% are done by me.
Right.
And then I also have a photographer that I use.
Is it videographer or videographer?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is it niche or niche?
Niche. I like niche.
Niche. Let's just go with niche.
Videographer.
John is sitting here. Oh, by the way, anybody who's listening or watching, John may have to bounce at any moment because he's pretty much running our business. So.
And it lost its breath a few feet ago. So it's going to have to stop and catch its breath here in a few minutes. Hands over the head, don't pass out kind of thing.
Gotcha. So you were doing all these things for how long?
So right when I started I started in 2017. I started doing all the things you do to network with people. meet for coffee, do all that kind of stuff, because I love that, talking to people. And then I started running into like Gary Vaynerchuk and some other real estate agents across the country on Facebook who started saying, look, that stuff's great and you need to do it, but there's a way you can do this and touch 1,000 people in a day.
Right.
And I was intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started watching more and more about it and providing value and providing entertainment somehow. And I started just diving into it, and I'd watch those numbers on my Facebook, like, wow, 1,200 people, and I got 35 comments.
Any business, any, you know, tip of the spear introductions for listings or anything like that off these things? And
oh, my gosh. How's it work out? Yeah. Oh, the payback on it is amazing.
Well, I mean, for a first-year realtor or realtor, it's what's the expected, you know, output? Was it 6 houses is typical?
Yeah, at most for a first-year realtor. I did in a half year. I was working for a commercial roofing company at the time.
Right.
It was a manufacturer.
Right.
And doing this just on the side to try to get it up and going. And I got to a point where I was so busy I couldn't do my normal job. And then I looked at my pipeline and there was $75,000 in commissions.
Nice.
And I said, okay, I think I'm ready.
So did you make the plunge?
Yeah.
That's something. That's like 2 houses, right?
Yeah, up in Franklin, right?
He sold 2 homes last year.
2 homes yielded $75,000.
Yeah. So, yeah, my first.
You should go for 3 this year, dude.
I know. 6 years,
that would be great.
And then my first full year, I had that following year, I was at like 24 homes.
Right.
And I really...
That's a lot of homes for a year and a half in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great. And it was definitely because of the video marketing and being online and just putting myself out there.
What were some of the things that were frustrating in the beginning when you were doing it? You were overlapping from the roofing business and going into real estate. But, I mean, once you jumped in and you realized you had these kind of commissions, was it just I just didn't look back? Or did you have... just something that was, were there more challenges and hurdles yet to be realized when you jumped in?
There were more hurdles. I think if people look at me from the outside and they say, that guy's marketing, he's everywhere. He's on YouTube. I'm on Google. I'm Instagram, Facebook.
MySpace.
MySpace. I'm not on MySpace.
Friendster?
Thankfully.
No, yeah. I'm not. Jeez.
You got to go after Friendster.
I hear it's a big market right now.
It's a big market and it's untapped.
Mm.
Probably because it's been long lost forgotten, but anyway.
I've got a TikTok video of my son that I tried to make him like dance and it didn't work out. I'm going to do my TikTok account though. That's going to get set up. It's just too, I think TikTok's going to be pretty big. It already is.
Well, I mean, all of these teenagers right now will eventually buy a home in the next 15 to 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be the first guy they think of.
That's right.
That's right. Hey, remember that guy that had his kid dancing on there? Let's go with him.
Yeah.
He seems trustworthy.
Yeah.
You know?
But so behind the scenes of all this, what is really frustrating for me, there is just new programs, new software, new websites, new ways to make videos constantly being thrown in front of me, and it's hard to make a decision on those things and where I want to spend money and how to use it.
Right.
And even to this day, this week, I'm trying to figure out what's the most efficient thing I can use and what's my best bang for my buck.
Well, what were some of the videos you were doing initially? Just the walkthroughs and stuff like that and the showcases of the homes?
No. So my initial thought when I started with videos was, do not talk about real estate.
Ah.
Don't talk about real estate. Don't say you're a realtor. Just try not to say that. Like, just provide value. So I would listen to a Gary V podcast or episode, and he'd say something cool. So then I'd jump on Facebook and be like, hey, I heard this cool thing he said, and I'd talk about it.
Right.
And people would be like, wow, that's cool.
So insightful.
Yeah. And in the end, I'd be like, by the way, Matt Boghossian, Kern & Company Realty.
That's right. Yeah, hey, look what I do.
Yeah.
You get the attention. That's, what was it? The jab, 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 right hook.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Matt just gave us his best Batman voice.
And let me hear
I did.
Sitting across the room from Jim, who has a much better Batman voice.
I don't know about that.
I feel like Jim's voice is making me want to make my voice better.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's seriously, it's growing on me.
It's growing.
You need to get that checked out. Dead.
You do. Just, you know, tell my wife, please. The But I mean, a lot of the stuff, it kind of parlayed into the other things. You're doing a kind of like something similar to this, where you're going out on location mm-hmm. into known locales and doing kind of an interview style show with other people. But it's the same woman. I can't remember her name. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. So I do that with Jamie Davis.
Okay.
Well, with Allstate Insurance here in Spring Hill.
Nice little collab, right?
Yeah. So we just get together and we call it the Spring Hill Source and just talk about things going on that week. We try to talk about local stuff. Sometimes there's not much going on locally, so we've got to expand.
All you got to do is visit any one of the Spring Hill Facebook pages, and you got plenty to talk about.
I know.
Steve Rice and I talked about doing a podcast just commenting on the stuff people put up.
Yeah.
That's a show in and of itself right there.
I think it would be funny to get, like, so say there's someone that complains about a waitress. To get the waitress and the person.
That never happens, really. I mean, they never slam small businesses on Facebook, ever.
No. Get them face to face, I think would be great. And interview them.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
We need to make that happen.
Like, hey, Mr. Jones, you really did not like your dinner and you didn't tip the other day. Well, I've got a surprise. Come on in, Sally the waitress.
Sally the waitress would like to have a word with you.
It's really interesting. So all these local Facebook pages are changing the way marketing even works. There was a pizza restaurant, not one that I was associated with, a few years ago that opened. And let's just say they were not prepared to open. And so it turned into a huge fiasco.
I remember that.
Didn't have enough product. They ran out of food the first 3 days straight. They had to wait a week. They had to close for a week just to rebuild everything. And what ended up happening out of this awful, awful launch and just a mountain of terrible comments is everybody wanted to be a part of the terrible experience. So literally for the next 3 to 5 weeks after they reopened the second time with all the materials they needed to keep the business running, they had lines out the door for months. And usually a restaurant in the local marketplace is about a 2 week launch and it's huge. And then after that, just like dies. And then they go out of business 3 weeks later. Nothing like that ever happens in Spring Hill. But apparently even bad publicity on these local marketing pages, people want to be part of that. How horrible was it? Experience.
Yeah.
And so it's intriguing when we talk about marketing and growth.
I don't want to be left out on the complaining.
They say all press is good press. I never really saw that until this one restaurant just, and they're still one of the staple restaurants in Spring Hill. They're still in business 3 years later, which
is amazing. Yeah,
that the big
is.
Key is getting to the point where you create so many flaming advocates that if anybody even dares to slant you on Facebook, hundreds of people just pile on in your defense.
Yeah.
And they're a flaming advocate. Can you describe that term?
Flaming advocate is just, you know, someone who it's actually a concept in marketing. They, I can't remember the name of it, but they basically equated it to a bunch of matches lining up and light one on fire. And hopefully that fire will spread on down the line. So flaming advocate, not like what you're thinking, John, but you know,
I have a few flaming advocates myself.
Just I saying, bet you do.
It's been great for me.
Well, you know, going adding to that point for me and these videos, because I'll put them out. Some of them are not very good.
I think they're good.
Some of them, though, I put them out and I look.
They look great.
I'll listen to myself. I'm saying every other sentence.
That's how you learn.
But you know what I've learned? I only need – so I told you guys I had a great year that first year and it was 24 houses.
Right.
I really – okay, so if I have 30 advocates – that's all I need that year. I mean, that's a great year. So it's there's going to be people that aren't going to like me or what I do. But on the flip side, there's enough people that do like it.
Right.
That it, it's
but I mean,
okay.
When you got into real estate, did you have to do the whole, you know, make cold call kind of thing? Did your brokerage office make you do that?
No. So I'm in a
Those
small.
Are annoying, man.
Yeah, I'm in a small, independent brokerage, and we don't do that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I have I've done sales my whole life, and account management type stuff. So that kind of when I got in, I knew. I said, I'm not doing cold calls and that kind of stuff. I mean, occasionally.
Hey, you know, there was a house right around the corner from you that sold for this. My name is so-and-so realtor with this brokerage. Yeah. And I would like have you thought about putting your house on the market? I'm like, yeah. I would also look at the 10 different realtors I already know.
Yeah.
And and, you know, have relationships with.
Right.
Yeah, talk to that. So outside of new people coming to Spring Hill, anybody in Spring Hill knows 97 to 150 realtors.
Real estate agents.
How do you attract business from local clients as opposed to them just going with Joe Blow they've known for 30 years?
That goes back to the marketing and being in front of people as much as possible. I just got a call yesterday from someone that has a family member moving here, and they want me to help them with a home. This person 3 years ago, I remember I told them I became a realtor, and they said, look, I've got a realtor we've used our whole life. Our realtor is so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I completely understand. I mean, you've got that relationship. But 3 years later, their realtor probably hasn't been in front of them
at all. That's a big thing.
And I've been in front of them constantly.
And you know, it's your personality type. So I have a lot of people that need cars, and a lot of people know I was in the car business. I have a set of salespeople that I know at the dealership that I like to refer them to, Mercedes-Benz of MusicCity.com, MBofMC.com, free plug. And basically, I know I can match personality types with particular salespeople at the dealership. There's that also.
You know?
So if somebody's, you know, kid is moving to town or whatever, you're affable. You're completely. You got a magnetic, charming personality. Man, you looks like you'd probably work great with
this guy.
You got
a ton of flaming advocates.
Yeah,
I'm going to use this word at least six times.
You've never heard me say that?
No.
I use that term way too much.
I just pictured like a little troll doll with its hair on fire.
You know,
literally what I saw when you said that.
It could be a meme.
We should do that.
We should totally
do a meme. But if we did a meme, it should be that.
Like a troll doll with the hair. It's my flaming advocate.
Nice.
That's right.
So question for you. Obviously, one of the real goals of this podcast is the what's your problem mindset. Obviously, you found a good way to be in front of the customers. You found a great way to develop leads even from local people, which to me would be the hardest thing about breaking into local real estate is the fact that there are a million stay-at-home moms who just want a little side income, and they get in the real estate business and they sell their seven homes this year and they made all they wanted to make and they go to next year, whereas you're trying to make this a profession and a growth engine for yourself. What would you say your biggest challenges outside of your successes in the local market that you're running into consistently?
Look at John with the setup.
Yeah.
And you're doing my job.
I'll stop.
That's okay. You can come right, have at it. It's fine. You asked it way better than I could. John, what is your problem right now?
I mean, this is probably going...
Or Matt.
This is John. Going pretty deep into my problems that... Never mind all the normal stuff, spending money on things and marketing and trying to figure that out. For me, is trying to figure out how every day I can wake up and have that hunger and that drive that I have on my best days.
Right. Your autopilot level.
Yeah. Because when I have that drive and hunger and my attitude is just 100% positive, looking forward, ready to go, I can kill it. And I'm not worried about meeting people and putting out videos. But I'll wake up some mornings and don't feel so – for some reason, you guys know how it is.
Just don't want to do it.
Don't want to do it. Don't feel good about how I look. Don't want to be on video.
Oh, my gosh. I get it.
Just
– Was that this morning?
Yeah.
Oh. Then the funny thing is, you look great on video.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I mean,
well, sitting beside me, of course he does. I'm only here
in the room in general, John. Come on.
So I do. I think, and I don't know how many people would admit it, I think there's a lot of people out there that today were probably sitting in their home office and they're just like at their computer and just.
I know I got to do something.
Like, yeah, got to do something. We all know what we need to do. So it's like, Matt. How can I get that drive every day?
Right. I coach people all the time when we have this kind of conversation, and it's, you know, cobbler's shoes scenario. I don't really do it myself as much as I should. You know, even for Big Dot and everything, I should probably be putting something up a couple of times a week. But, you know, it's okay. Is this really going to be good enough? Is it just going to come off? I'm just trying to. Is it going to look like I'm just putting it up for the sake of putting it up?
Yeah.
You know, and I go through that as well. You know, if I want to spout off for 5 minutes on a topic, I got to outline it, get in front of the camera. That's why I like having this setup because I can just do it right on the fly.
Right.
I like efficiency.
Yeah.
You know,
that's why actually in the last probably 2 months, I've always stayed away from Facebook Live.
Right. everybody does it.
Because of fear. I'm afraid. I can't edit it, I guess. I guess that's my...
That's like being on the air, though. I mean, once it's out there, you can't take it back.
Yeah.
You know?
And now that I'm want efficiency and I realize I don't care, I think I look fine and do fine, I like Facebook Live.
Right.
I can just go on and click it, and it's on. I say what I need to say. Done.
But is it getting to the point where you see somebody doing a Facebook Live and you're just like, I just scrolling past. I don't know what you're telling me.
Well, yeah, like, and I do these, and sometimes when you see their face and they're talking, but you don't hear them,
right?
You're just like, oh, what is this guy trying to tell me again?
Right.
That's what you need to like.
But a lot of that has to do with the titling of the video of whatever they're going to be talking about. Yeah. How is it going to hook somebody?
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, in your case, you're talking about just getting the gumption every day. I mean, how many times a week do you want to put something up? Typically,
I'd like to do something at least two times a week, some form of video. So maybe a Facebook Live one day, and then an edited type video. And it doesn't matter. It could be a minute long, 3 minutes long, 10 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So two times a week. And, you know, going back to the Facebook Live thing, part of the, I think the drive that I love about it, the challenge is what can I do to make people that hook and mm-hmm. get people to watch that Facebook Live? Can I, you know, set up my phone and then jump off the back of a truck and they see me and they go, oh my gosh, or, you know, do a wheelie on my mountain bike and pull up. I don't know. It's just because, like you said, when you see that person talking and it says real estate market update.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. One of the podcasts I produce is a real estate show. And, you know, in the beginning, I said, well, who's going to be your audience? Well, we want it to be realtors and we want it to be people interested in looking at real estate. And I was like, from the get-go, I'm like, you got to pick one or the other. I don't think you can have it both ways, because the people looking for real estate, they're only doing that once every 5 to 7 years, maybe 10 years that they're in the market. Maybe they'll dip their toe in the water, take a temperature of the market, see what's for sale. I do it on Zillow and stuff like that on realtor.com. But
Realtor.com.
But it's one of those things that you start looking at. What is my audience? Who is my audience? Who am I attracting? In your case, it's got to be people in the market to buy. You're not building a brokerage as of yet.
Right.
You know, in this case, these two people are building. They got to attract realtors to their hive. So I said, just make it an educational, informative show for realtors.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we kind of shifted in that direction now. So,
yeah, you have to pick your audience. At one point, I experimented with, and I'm still doing this, on I've got a YouTube channel and I put the videos everywhere, basically. And that's a whole nother issue. But doing the concept was, since I mountain bike, so the concept was I'm going to go around to the trails.
We have mountains.
We have trails and woods. But go to all the local trails and do a video, but it would be edited so it wouldn't be too long and boring, where basically if somebody is thinking of moving to Nashville and they're a mountain biker and they want to know what the trails are like, they can come and see this video on my channel.
It's a good idea.
And I've actually had really good success with those videos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, I kind of stopped doing them for some reason and went back to doing like the real estate stuff. But I keep looking over and the views on the mountain bike videos and the comments and everything are just going through the roof.
That's cool.
So those
it's a niche approach.
Yeah.
You know, you've tapped into a hot niche.
Niche. It's a niche approach.
It's a niche approach.
That's neat.
There's a guy out in San Diego. His last name is Paffrath. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he's got a big YouTube channel and he, I want to say his Mark. He's like literally just like Mark Sells Homes. I don't think it's Mark, but his last name is Kevin. Meet Kevin. That's his whole moniker.
Okay.
Kevin Paffrath. And he does like controversial, you know, hey, you don't have to listen to Dave Ramsey or Grant Cardone or any of these other guys to get into investing. You can start investing with one house. He kind of meets in the middle between all the big heavyweight influencers out there that are talking about investing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made a name for himself, even to the point where he wanted to deliver poinsettias to Cardone's office in Miami. So he documented the whole trip, him and his whole team dressed up like Christmas elves. And Cardone, I think, ended up suing him for it because
wow.
it was he breaking and entering, I believe.
I just get, that's what I've got a Cardone book that I'm going to start reading. I think tonight I 10X just rule. Got it. No, I've read that one. That is a great book.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember the name of it. It's sitting on my counter.
Be Obsessed or Be Average.
That's what it is.
Because I saw it on your
stories. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I heard it was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to his books, they all start sounding the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a monster.
Yeah.
So, you know who Cardone is, John?
I'm familiar with him.
Yes. Yeah. You're not impressed.
I don't.
It takes a lot to impress you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's because I'm really boring.
I don't think so. Lift your mic up a little bit more. I can barely hear you. There you go. Nice.
But no. I wanted a deep, chesty voice, so I put the mic down on my chest.
It's a good idea.
You got to have a McCarthy as a last name.
All right. So question.
Question. Yeah.
I'm doing Jim's job.
Go ahead. Just knock yourself out.
Of course. Thank you. So we talked about marketing efforts. You've talked a lot about that today. It seems to be the crux of your business is getting your name out there and getting customers to utilize you. Almost your entire fulfillment is that specific part of the process. In a major corporation like Coca-Cola or Nike, they have an annual spend budget, and they throw whatever millions of dollars into this big pool, and they pull out of that pool to the end of the year, and then obviously anything left over gets applied to the next year, reduced in the next year's budget. And mid-level companies, marketing strategies from a budgetary perspective are, you know, we take a certain percentage of our gross revenue. So call it 3% of our gross revenue can go to marketing. We do it monthly. We do it quarterly. We do it annually. And that allows for us to establish we are way overspending out of our budget to generate more opportunity. Obviously, you are both a company and an individual. And I've never spent any money marketing myself. So budgeting, like, do I pay $10 to let somebody get interested in me, to pay $100? Is it $10,000?
Yeah,
and then quantifying, well, I had four people get interested in me off this $10,000, but, you know, I sold all four homes and that was justified, versus I had 100 people off this other medium that was only $10, but I spent a ton of time working these opportunities, but they really weren't good leads. I didn't get anything out of them.
Yeah.
How do you determine an effective marketing dollar, both from a budget perspective and from a what did it generate for me?
I think I'm still dabbling in the online leads.
This podcast has got really smart all of a sudden.
Right? Yeah, it did. Jeez. So
boring.
I think for me, what I try to do now, I've got, you know, you might call it your sphere of influence, mm-hmm. the people you know, and I've probably got a fairly large sphere of influence, especially when I, with my Facebook and my neighborhood and people I've met. So I try to spend money that puts me in front of those people as much as possible.
Right.
Physically or physically, like you take them to lunch kind
so,
of thing?
So what I've learned is, That is what's tough. I do a little bit of everything and spend quite a bit of money on marketing. I probably spend 10 to 15% of my gross revenue on marketing. It's quite a big number. And I'm like, every year I'm like, geez, but it's effective and it gets me in front of people all the time. It's that Cardone says omnipresence.
Yeah.
You just have to be everywhere at all times.
The more people who know who you are, the, you know, your revenue increases.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
branding.
So I mix it up. I mean, I have, I had a t-shirt made that's got my face and says Matt Bogosian Realtor. My face is kind of funny. It's like I had the graphics design guy at the shirt place make it. It's kind of funny, like kind of making fun of myself. I give those out.
Realistic.
Yeah. Okay, yes. That was a good one, actually. So I give those out all the time. I mail
Does
people
anybody
things.
Wear your shirt?
Yes, I'll be driving through my neighborhood and I'll see someone mowing their yard with my shirt on.
Oh, so it's a scrap shirt. Got it.
Yeah. What if you just did a Matt Bogosian lawn mowing shirt?
Yeah.
Because you know that's what they're going to use it for.
Yeah, I should, like a tank top.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
For women.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just some sort of a shirt for
on the back
men.
Put a troll doll with his hair on fire. Call him your flaming advocate.
Yes.
That's right.
Look, this is a good idea.
That's not
this
a bad idea.
This is why we're here.
This is why we're here. We're here to solve your problems or at least
helpful.
Make an effort.
We're actually here just to discover your problems and leave you hanging.
That's right.
All of your problems.
We have the answers, but we're not going to tell you.
Yes. I have come to grips, though, with the fact that I have to spend money in a lot of different places to be as in as many spots as I can. And you can't necessarily quantify the return. So I'll get a listing in my neighborhood and it's literally will be like, "Hey, Matt, awesome. Yeah, we love your videos." And I'm like, "Oh, cool. Thank you so much for watching." And then they're like,
"Want to buy a house?"
Well, then they say, "Well, we also get your mailer every month." And I'm like, "Okay, cool. That's awesome." And we talked to your wife down there and we saw someone wearing your shirt. So I don't know what made them use me to list the house.
It really is hard to quantify marketing in general. What we used to tell people in radio is that, look, I can guarantee you two things. Your ad will run and you will be charged for it. That's about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it comes down to the messaging. It always comes down to the messaging. We get a lot of people to talk about platform and medium for days on end. But if your messaging isn't reaching, isn't, you know, engaging with people, the Wizard of Ads, Roy Williams, he talks about you got to win the heart first. And the mind will follow every single time.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing stuff like this. I mean, you know, I've been struggling for the longest time on how to market an electrical company on a very limited budget. Okay, I'm going to do what's in my skill set. Let's start a podcast.
Yeah.
What does it do? It gets Matt Bogosian familiar with who we are. He knows where we are now.
Yep.
He's had, hopefully, a fun experience with us.
Great time.
And, you know, I'm sure it's probably the best podcast you've ever been on.
It is, actually.
Let me get that on tape. Say that again.
This is the very best podcast I have ever been on.
How are you, John?
His fingers are crossed. They were.
It looked like a message of duress.
Yeah.
I'm like, send help now.
Like, oh, man, I'm going to have to call my buddy and apologize. Hey, man, I'm sorry. Said this.
But, you know, so it accomplishes a lot of different things, you know, and we're doing it in such a way that's, I hope, interesting. Interviewing people that are that have local influence and stuff like that. That's the MO of this whole thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we get people like, I want to get the Macas on, or the Halls, rather. Ryan and Danny.
Yep, Daniel, they're awesome. Yep.
With Nelly's.
Yep.
I want to get David Miller on. You know, he's another real estate agent who's dominated. Well, actually, he got put on my radar back when I moved here, and he was putting his billboard on, like, bus chairs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You
know, bus benches.
Yeah.
And he would put his picture upside down and say, "Made you look."
That's awesome.
He killed it.
Yeah.
He crushed it. And now he's got, you know, Miller's Thrillers and Extreme Escape Games and all that stuff.
So we did a great job of changing the topic, but I want to get back to this
topic. Tangents, man. Rabbit holes.
Yeah, I know. But this is actually interesting to me. So you spend 10 to 15% of your annual revenue on marketing.
Yep.
And you've just given into the concept that it's going to work. I made money, so I'm going to keep going after.
Yeah.
And that's my budget. And I'm fine with that because I'm still driving my car and living in my house. And my,
that fries your brain, doesn't it?
It really does, personally, because I work with much tighter budgets in all of these areas because we are a corporation, not an individual. You know, I share my money among all 30-something of our employees. It's not me selling my product to the masses and getting the revenue myself. So this is a unique world for me. But let me ask you this. Are you comfortable, or is that something that you're still feeling uncertain about? Is this the right amount? Are these the right avenues? Or am I just being successful, so I'm going to continue to just throw money at these avenues?
No, I'm pretty comfortable with it now.
You can always scale back.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I, you know, my wife, if she knew the dollar amount of the checks I write, might freak out. I don't think she would be comfortable with it. But I've grown numb.
She's like me.
Yeah.
So you're still at 10 to 15% of what your revenue is. So she could figure that out.
Yeah.
Now that it's on the podcast.
Yeah, right.
Don't let her listen.
She might freak out.
Yeah.
But like, so the one of the reasons that I became a real estate agent, I was working for a corporation and I wanted to just control everything and my own destiny. So like, all these marketing dollars and to market myself, it's different than when you're with a company. It's the return, I guess, of course, with real estate, so, to me seems, you know, you get that back, I think, quicker. And it's just,
it comes in sizable chunks.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to do as much work on fulfillment as a company that's a manufacturing company that has to spend tons of money on product and material and those kind of things just to make a dollar.
Yeah.
Yours is truly relationship driven. Your product is yourself.
Yeah. I mean, like, think about it this way. What if I had an advertising campaign doing who knows what, and it cost $12,000? That's a lot of money. I don't know that I would do anything that costs that much money in one chunk, but...
Oh, you haven't sent the bill for this yet?
I have not.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's coming.
But, I mean, and we're fortunate enough in Williamson County, houses are at $500,000 pretty regularly. So you can do the math. You can get out of even spending too much on advertising pretty quickly and just go, okay, shouldn't have done that. But at least I got a home.
Recovery's quick.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, I did a lot of Google ads and paid this guy a lot of money, and he was great. And it was too stressful for me, though, on the monthly spend. Kind of, it just was too much with everything else I had going. But I ended up finally on the back end closing a deal, and it covered it all. And I was like, okay. I feel better.
We may know a thing or two about that.
Yeah.
So. Much to the detriment of the company.
Well, one of the partners in our business really felt that there was a certain medium for advertising that was worth a large amount of spend. And so we did it for 8 months, spent a large amount of money through this medium, and we were unable to track any direct responses to this medium. Whereas in the past, this was a very, very beneficial and great avenue for growth in a business. The new world doesn't allow for that same medium to be worth what it is. It's not that it's not a good medium. It's just the amount of spend you have to spend to get in these areas was way more
than
what we could see from any benefit reward. And so, you know, the thing that we've learned is sometimes the cheapest way to grow your business is a phone call and a lunch with somebody.
Yeah, hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And so if we've got budget to take, you know, I'm actually traveling to Florida next week personally to go spend 3 days at a potential client. Well, that's a huge spend out of my pocket, but
it's worth it.
It's worth it because even the hypothetical return, it generates that. But we know that that is an effective use of dollars. It's going to get us in front of an opportunity,
and it's falling down. Thank you. He doesn't like me talking.
Engineer, get on it.
Talking in my chest.
It gets us in front of an opportunity. That's a real opportunity, not some hypothetical. There's 1,000 people listening or seeing this, but no one actually responded to it. So for us, a targeted effort is almost more often a one-on-one direct market than it is a wide throw your nets, which goes against this omnipresent mentality. But man, today's world of marketing, it's everywhere. And finding that right balance between I am a person and I am a business and I can throw money in front of 1,000 people and they'll just click skip.
Right.
But if you follow Vaynerchuk, he is a personal brand in the truest sense of the word. But he also represents VaynerMedia and VaynerSports. They all have Cher's last name. So it's there's that residual effect with him leading the way, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, Ramsey's the same way.
Ramsey's the same way. And you know, huge Jimmy Hiller and you know, Governor Lee and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's... You kind of got all those different things that happen where you have a personality that's leading the way, then and the residual effects kind of build the business in and of itself. The only unfortunate thing is once the main guy goes away, then what?
Right, you right. Know? I mean, I still go back to talking about all this video. I mean, if someone's listening right now that's a real estate agent that's like trying to get more business, video, hands down, you can do that free with your cell phone and a lav mic. You don't even need a lav mic, but it puts you... I go to meet with people who I've never met before, and their guard is clearly way down because they've
gotten to know you.
They already know me.
Yeah.
So then I'm good.
It's done its job.
Yeah. I can talk to them and I feel good. But when you meet with someone that doesn't know you, you know, suddenly you're both like,
Yeah.
Who are you? Are you trying to?
And at that point, you know, when I sold cars, we used to get that all the time. Go figure. People would come on the lot. Their wall was up. It was my job to find a way to punch the bricks out and make sure the wall comes down. So I would find ways that were memorable to get them laughing. And, you know, you'd get the one partner was emotionally attached. The other one was more analytical. So it was the challenge was to win that person over, the analytic.
Yeah.
The data driven person. And I would just get utterly ridiculous with it. You know, explaining what the steering wheel did and how to open the door and amazing, you know, this is where you sit down because you don't want to stand while you drive the car, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they would just be like, dude, are you serious? But, you know, but it was memorable.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that, they would soften up, they were open to accept more communication.
Yeah.
And I call it hashtag be them centric. Just, it ain't about you until it is.
Right.
You know,
yeah. And Mike, what's happening with me is I've already broken down. They've decided by the time we're meeting that they like me and that they want to use me. And that makes my life so much easier. I know that they know who I am. They've seen my bad videos, my good videos.
That's okay.
I can just go in and be myself. It just makes my job so much easier.
Yeah.
It makes it where I can just focus on the task at hand.
It's creating a celebrity. And that's the funny thing I think about you, John, is that you do have that potential. You and I talked about that.
About me creating a celebrity?
Well, you being, you know, kind of, you ask a lot of really good questions.
Oh, I'm not creating. I am the celebrity.
Hey, yes.
I'm going to sit up for this.
Sit up.
See?
You got to cross your legs a certain way.
Yeah, too. But see, my feet don't touch the floor. So y'all can't see that in the video, but it's just kind of sitting here dangling. See, they're dangling.
But the whole era of the personal brand is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
It's everything for me. Everything. Yeah.
So here's a question.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to ask this of a real estate agent. So I'm going to buy a house and I have 7 friends that are real estate agents. Like, I pick one of them to go buy a house with. And then the next time I see the other 6 for like a year, I can't talk to them because I didn't choose them to be my real estate agent. Do you find that people avoid you on a regular basis right after purchasing a home through someone else?
I don't think so, but I could see that being a real thing.
Like, I have a certain fear attached to seeing these real estate agents the next time I'm out in public.
I'll tell you, for me, it more worries me that you would feel that way. I wouldn't want the friendship.
What are you afraid of? So, John.
Yes. Yes, that's it.
Did you buy a new house?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you? I don't remember you calling me about it. That's odd. Remember you and I talked about for hours?
I showed you 7 other houses.
That's right.
A year ago when you were interested in buying a home a year ago.
Son of a bitch.
That's a true fear. And we're going to bleep out that word.
No, so listen.
Followers.
I'll mark it down.
It's funny you bring that up. That is something I think about a lot. And I don't want people to feel like that with
me. You can't.
Me.
You got to be understanding of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, don't feel like that. I don't want people to have that fear, but there's nothing I can do to change that.
There was one time I sold a car and the customer called me up to let me know that they bought a car through somebody else. Not only because they felt I didn't meet their needs, but because they just really wanted to let me know how awful I was. And that's I went great. Out of my way to help these people. I went to their house and signed paperwork. I delivered the car to their house when it came in. It was for their 16-year-old daughter. I picked her up and brought her to the dealership to go over all the different things. And then the nanny drove home. I mean, I went above and beyond. She calls me up. So I just wanted to let you know, I would like to buy another car, but I don't want to go through you again. I was like, what in the world?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a horrible person.
Yeah, that is. That is.
So maybe here's your next advertising campaign. We talked about the troll doll with the flaming head, the t-shirts.
Yeah.
But I bet you my fear is shared by 1,000 non-real estate agents right here in Spring Hill.
Oh my gosh.
He's on to something now.
Definitely.
If there is a way for you to overly communicate up front that you just want to get to know people, and if they buy through whoever they buy through, your goal is to help them make right, good buying decisions and just to be a great member of their neighborhood, not the guy they have to avoid if they buy a house
with
somebody else. Because I tell you that I don't get anxious about much. Jim will tell you that only clowns and this scare me and horses, but that's beside the horses.
No, I mean...
Like envious or something?
No,
or?
They're just that much bigger than I am. I see the same point, yes.
Maybe I get like a tagline that's like, don't use me, I don't give a...
I know you know 8 other realtors. Let me be your 9th.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm another one.
Let me be your friend.
Yeah.
I know you know 8 other realtors. Let me be your friend.
I really
that
like...
That would be a great...
But that's a candor approach, and that actually really works. Going back to the days in the early 80s and the 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. Great book. And it's a lot of the brands they deal with in the book are dated. But a lot of the principles still really stand. And one of the laws is a law of candor. And it was between... The example was between the two rental companies at the time, car rental. I think it was Avis and Hertz. And I think Hertz was number two in the category. And they were like, look, you know, we're not the best, but we certainly try harder.
Right.
It was candor.
Yeah.
They admitted a negative.
Yeah.
I have the same idea for HVAC. Look, we get it. You don't want to have to need us. Because the first time you're heating your AC breaks, what's the first thought that crosses your mind? Oh, God, what is this going to cost? How do I get my comfort back? I don't want to have you. We get it. You don't want to have to need us. We get it. I get it. I am Matt Bogosian. I understand. You know, like 15 other realtors. Let me be just another one. You know.
Yeah.
There you go.
There.
Boom.
Like, you know, what's funny. Something since I've become a real estate agent that I truly believe. So your home is obviously one of your biggest, most people's largest investment.
There we go.
So
close to a bum.
So there's one thing I would encourage people to do that I can do for them. And I know that they, going back to what you're talking about, they don't want this though, because of the fear. I could provide, say, on a monthly basis, say, hey, here's the market activity in your neighborhood. People love to see what your neighbor's house sold for, right?
Or even better yet, an appraisal, a loose appraisal on your own.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it keeps them up to date with it, and you can track. But going back to what John was saying, I've stopped asking people about that because they're afraid. It's like I'm trying to sell them by giving them. I just think it's great. I'm like, don't even use me. But this is cool. You can get this info once a month and you don't have to worry about trying to search for it. And you can track your value of your home.
Well, you're also doing the mayor thing, too, which is, I think, a very good tactic. Steve Missal, is that his name? Missal. You know what I'm talking about?
Missal.
Missal. Well, we'll have to have him on and have him correct me on that.
Okay.
But he's another realtor in town, is basically, he says, hey, we're giving, he does weather updates and, you know, traffic updates on his Facebook page. And
yeah,
it's always just good information, timely. It's simple.
Oh, he's with the Cry Light.
Is he with Cry Light?
Yeah, because there was a fire engine running across the front of his store the other day.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, he was talking about the speed of the town.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like a tractor in the background and all the traffic in the foreground.
That
was
that's so funny. I figured this out.
That's
in,
funny.
In the middle of Matt's interview here.
What's that?
That it was, he's with Cry Light. Sorry,
yeah, I'm not
competition.
No, no, that's okay.
Everybody else sucks.
Exactly. I mean,
there you go. We're never having those guys on.
Yeah. No, he is not. I don't even.
But you guys all pretty much get along. I mean, it's rising tide lifts all ships.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially in this town.
Yeah.
It's tough to not be a successful realtor right now in Nashville.
Right.
Right?
Right. I keep saying that.
If you don't sell enough houses and if you can't do, there's really something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Right? You just suck. Well,
I mean, as a consumer, not a professional in your industry at all, the whole concept of having a real estate agent that I could just generally ask a question to and not feel like the response is going to be,
so when are you going to buy?
Here's my 17 listings that I could provide for you.
Yeah. What do you think you're going to buy in the next month?
Would be a massive benefit in my perception of that person.
Yeah.
Because suddenly I don't feel like they're the next salesman trying to, you know, feed their family off of my dime.
Yeah.
I feel like they're actually there to help me be successful. And
yeah.
Win, which I tell you, in the real estate world, it's a scary environment. I mean, car dealerships, real estate, cell phone sales,
yeah,
they're all like, you walk in the door and you're like, okay. Mm.
Yeah, but car dealerships, I mean, we were trained to, you know, you were on the lot. Yeah. You may be just looking, but yeah.
You came to a lot. That's pretty close.
Right.
To,
you're looking at that car pretty hard. And
yeah.
I looked at the car you drove in, and I saw the spot. I could tell by the spot they parked in where they were ready to buy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just sit there and watch and, you know, wait to pounce.
I think it's just putting
wait
out
to pounce.
That's right.
Boom. Got them.
Yeah. But I mean, it was about my stuff. I could sleep at night because I provided value. I just, you know, I explained the integrity of the brand. I told the story of the brand.
And lots of volume. But, you know,
lots of volume.
Sorry.
And,
yeah.
And chloroform.
No, you know, now I look at like car salesmen, and when I meet with one that clearly like knows the cars,
yeah,
and the brand and can get me answers that I want and knows the different packages, I'm like, okay, he takes his job serious. He's done research and learn the products. I'm okay. I'm good with it. It's annoying when you go up and the person doesn't.
You know more than them, and you're teaching them about the car you're testing.
Yeah.
I've been through
yeah.
that.
But there's a way to handle that. You know, one of the things that they taught us is that the best thing you can be is new.
Yeah.
I'm new. Let me go check. Best thing you could say, even if you're 2 years into it.
Yeah, and that gets well. So that you know? That goes towards. I live in Thompson Station, and I primarily work in Thompson Station and Spring Hill. And I used to, when I first started, would go anywhere. Mm-hmm. I'll go anywhere. I'll take any listing. What do you got?
I mean, but you had to do what you had to do. And I was going to ask about that. What's it like for a new agent to get people to trust you? Because, I mean, they're entrusting you with the biggest purchase they're going to make.
Yeah.
It's you got to, you know, I don't want to say that phrase, keep it clean, but I'll say it. Pop the cherry. You got to make sure that, that it's got to happen.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You just have to. Have
John's just staring at me like, dude.
I'm trying to come up with a safe way to say that. I have no.
It's already been said.
It's been said.
It's already
say
done.
That phrase.
Yeah, there really is no way.
No,
you just got to be confident and have a positive attitude and just.
Yeah, but if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know what you're talking about, is it okay in a real estate transaction to say, "Let me check, let me find out"? I don't know.
Yeah. I guess it is. I mean, I think I had to do it. I luckily had, I don't know, 15 years of professional experience.
Right.
In dealing with situations, I sold roofing materials. I had people asking me, how many millimeters thick is the flashing around that pipe boot? And I'm thinking,
are they testing you?
Yeah. And I'd say, I'll tell you what, if you go to our website, there's a sheet, data sheet, you can download it.
Are you really interested in that? Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's probably how I would actually respond.
Yeah.
Well, I could find out, but dude, are you really? Does that matter? I had a guy one time asking me about the IP rating on our lights. I'm going, what do you know about IP ratings? He's like, well, I need to be weatherproof. Well, what's a good IP rating for you? 65. Perfect. That works.
Yeah, we'll do
you
it.
Know, that's, you know, that'll work.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just think, you know, it's in how an agent would, if they don't know the answer, and they say, well, okay, I'm going to write down each one of your questions as we go, and I'll get you these answers immediately when we finish up and get back to you. And if I can get them while I'm here, I will. But if not, I'll get them to you right away. And then you get them those answers. And I think people respect that.
Have you ever had an upset client?
Yeah, but normally it wasn't me. Normally the person's just upset in general.
Right.
So, and you normally see that around the inspection period where it really comes out. So if you're representing a seller and a buyer asks for more repairs than they feel they should. Mm-hmm. That's when I've normally seen the sellers get upset.
But it's not with you. It's just the buyer.
Yeah, they're just upset about the situation. I'm pulling this house off the market. And you just calm down.
Yeah, dial it back.
Yeah. Because a lot of people don't buy or sell a home very often.
Right.
Some do, and they've done it a bunch, and they understand, hey, I'm going to have to drop $1,500 in repairs. I don't care. I already know that. Not a big deal.
So, Matt, you came here with some problems. Did you get some solutions?
Yeah, I did. I feel better about myself.
You feel like you had fun?
Yeah.
So when you wake up tomorrow, are you going to be motivated to try something new?
I am. I do want to crack that question of how can I help people not be afraid of me?
I think you should do it with a Halloween mask on.
Yeah.
I have is there something on my face? You know, kind of that kind of a thing.
Or the Freddy Krueger claws. Yeah.
I really don't want you to be afraid of me and like have the hand come out of the, you know, as you're holding a Freddy Krueger.
I really think clown is the way to go.
Yeah.
How can I make it so you're not afraid of me in clown makeup?
Yeah. So the sharpening the knife thing.
Do it in a sewer with like the it thing going on.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Matt Bogosian. I'm trying to find a way for you not to be afraid of me.
That's a good idea. I actually.
Hey, little girl.
I've lifted one of those sewer grates before.
I was like, what are you doing, dude?
Do we rate our audience? Do we like give them like, this is a rated R episode. This one's NC-17.
Something like that.
Okay, just curious.
I don't think it's explicit.
There'll probably only be like one person hearing this at the end. I'm not saying you have a bad podcast. I'm just saying.
It's a horrible podcast right now.
No, I'm saying.
You're making it better, man.
Yeah, see, there you go.
How can people find you?
Just go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Matt Bogosian.
Bogosian. I've been saying your last name wrong this whole time.
What did you say?
Bogosian.
Oh, you can say it that way.
Okay. Thank you. I will. I like it better that way.
Yeah. Some people say it that way.
It's like realtor.
Realtor.
Yeah.
Bogosian or Bogosian? Niche.
We have the Bogosian Flaming Advocates.
Regularly or regularly?
Yeah. I've got a big Armenian following. There's like three of us.
You know, but there's a lot of people in town. We actually had a couple on the real estate show that I produce, Talk of Music City Real Estate. They dial into their people.
Yeah.
And they crush it.
Yeah.
One of the guys' name is Carolos Hanna, and he's out of Murfreesboro. He sold 80 homes in 2 years.
Yeah.
80 freaking homes. And the other one is
said he did that last week.
Yeah. Two. I did that in my sleep last night.
I know. I do hear these realtors doing 80 homes, and I'm going, oh my gosh, like, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
I mean,
you need an assistant to that.
Yeah, you need a whole team to do that.
And I think they do.
Yeah. So they sell 80 homes, but maybe have $150,000 in expenses.
Right.
Versus
that's a lot.
Five.
Because, I mean, 80 homes is how much in commissions on average? It's got to be, what, 80 times $3,000? Four,
no, not around right here.
Six, $7,000.
I mean,
$6,000 to $10,000.
Yeah. Yeah. You could say $10,000.
It's almost $1 million a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they're spending 10 to 15% of their budget on marketing,
that would be right.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
That's right. Well, man, thanks for coming out and being a part of this and in the inaugural set of episodes that we're releasing. I have no idea what numerical value this episode's going to be.
It'll
quite
be episode
yet.
Episode three.
It should be number one. Wait, why three?
Number one's good.
Everybody listens to the first one. They kind of doze off. And if they come back again by the third one, they're fully engaged.
I don't know. I think these are pretty interesting. So
yeah.
I've only been in this one. So this is the only interesting one.
Because of you.
I mean,
you
I'm
ask very
saying,
good questions.
It's Matt's fault.
It is magical.
To the people out there, if you use another realtor,
follow along. Mad. We've got a Facebook page as well. At this point, I have no idea what it's going to be, but it's going to be listed in the show notes, so you can check that out. Please like, subscribe, rate, and review to What's Your Problem? And of course, if you know anybody that you think would make a great guest, please let me know. Thanks for checking us out.